Welcome to the Gentleman Project Podcast. I'm Corey Moore.
And I'm Kirk Chugg. If any of you have listened to the podcast since we started, one of our first episodes was with a man named Brady Murray. And Brady's is a perennial favorite for a lot of our listeners because it was so real, so authentic. And to this day, every podcast episode is ranked against Brady's in my house. My wife will say, I love the podcast. And I said, was it Brady Murray podcast worthy? And she goes, not quite. But Brady's is still my favorite. Brady is one of those guys that once you meet, he is inseparably connected with what he is passionate about and what he does, both for a living, but also on the philanthropic side. Brady is doing so many amazing things that I don't know anyone else doing anything like Brady. He always follows promptings, is one of the things that I learned from him in his podcast when he was on before. He always follows promptings, and I woke up one morning to a text from Brady, and he said, I think I need to come back on the podcast. I've been feeling this itch that I need to reach out to you and tell you what we've been doing, and we're all about spreading goodness, and we're all about making sure that people get an amplification of what they're doing, and if it's worthy causes like yours, we are all over that. So we scheduled it that very day, and we're grateful that Brady's back in the podcast studio today to share with us some of the things that he's doing with Rod's Heroes. I just can't wait to hear, because I follow you on social media and it's like, where are they in the world today? Just doing amazing things. So welcome back, Brady.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate the intro. Hope we can share some goodness and some light today as well.
Absolutely. So tell everybody that hasn't listened to your first podcast episode what Rod's Heroes is, kind of the origin story of that quickly, and then tell us what's going on with it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity. So Rod's Heroes started back in 2012, and it actually started with the acronym RODS, which stands for Racing for Orphans with Down Syndrome. So we in my family have been blessed with a beautiful boy who has Down syndrome. And when we found out that Nash, when he was born and we found out he has Down syndrome, my wife and I looked at each other and we felt bad for each other at first. And then we realized after spending a little time with Nash that we shouldn't feel bad for ourselves. We should feel bad for families that don't have a beautiful little boy with Down syndrome. He's been a light and a joy for us. And we also remember though that there's definitely some pain and some emotion that came with welcoming Nash into our family. And we believe that when we serve the pain that we know best, that we're going to be able to see some pretty inspiring and special things. So in serving that pain, we, in trying to build and grow the Down syndrome community where we were living, we were up in Boise at the time, we started to research just as many different ways that we can to serve and to help this community. And we learned that when a child is born with a disability like Down syndrome, oftentimes they're going to be left in a mental institution or in an orphanage. And this is in developing countries. And so we thought, well, let's do something to try and help that. And we were trying to think of ways to fundraise to be able to do an adoption grant for a child. And my wife said, well, why don't you run an Ironman triathlon? And at the time, I'd never done anything crazy like that before. And in fact, I'd tried to do a little half Ironman and about put me in the hospital, literally. And so the thought of doing double that was just not in the cards. But I knew that if there was a way for me to be able to do an Ironman and be able to connect a child with a family and get a family home, then I would give it a try. And I did that. And you know, the Cliff Notes version of this is I saw a miracle happen, actually, as I started to train and to race or to train for a race. I saw doors open. I saw mountains move. And within 6 months, I found myself racing not just an Ironman, but racing in the Ironman World Championship in Kona, Hawaii, where they featured our story on NBC that year. And that's actually how Rod's got its start, racing for orphans with Down syndrome. Since then, we continue to be involved in endurance, crazy endurance events like that. But the mission has really evolved, in particular over the last, call it 18 months, as we've seen some things unfold that I'm going to share with you today. So that's the origin story of Rod's Heroes.
I can't wait to hear it, because you guys were a little bit forced to change the way business as usual happened within the foundation because of COVID, right?
That's right.
A lot of these developing countries weren't adopting children out of their country anymore. So how did that affect what you guys are doing now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Our biggest country that we were adopting from was in China. And our second biggest country that we were adopting in was Ukraine. And so when COVID hit, China shut down. And then we all know what happened in Ukraine. And so it forced us into a little bit of a corner. And oh, by the way, all the races stopped in COVID as well. So it forced us into a place where we had to rethink how we were going to approach this. And as a team, we got together. We always try and make this a matter of prayer. We seek inspiration because we know that we're literally working with human lives to be able to save them. And we felt strongly that we should seek opportunities to be able to go in country. And this was something that we had thought about before, but like countries, I don't know if you can put this together, but they're not super excited about Americans coming to their country, going into the institutes and making videos of what's going on there. They kind of keep that down on wraps. And so it's just something we've always wanted to do, but it was never an opportunity, but we felt like maybe we can do this. And so we looked at all the children that we had, and through a small miracle, we found a video that was posted on a cell phone camera that we guess was by one of the workers in an institute of a little boy in Colombia. So his name is Vaughn. And let me give you a background on this kid. We started advocating for Vaughn back in 2014. He's in fact the only child that we've been advocating for that we have an adoption grant of $15,000. In fact, it's $20,000 now that we've advocated for that didn't get adopted. So we raised this big grant for him back in 2014. And for 7 years, he never got adopted, even with this big grant. And so we're looking at Vaughn's profile and we found this tiny little video. It was like a 15-second video clip of him that was an updated video. And our marketing director grabbed that, created a cool little social media post and posted that. In 7 years, we never had a family commit or even inquire much about Vaughn. With that little video that we had of him showing his light, within 2 weeks, we had two families fighting over who was going to get to adopt him. Really? So we thought, okay, we're on to something. Where is Vaughn located? He's in Colombia. Okay, what are our connections to Colombia? Because here's the mission. It's kind of like MacGyver, where you've got like a piece of tinfoil and a couple of toothpicks, and you've got an old car engine, and you got to fly to the moon. And so we were going to say, how are we going to get to Colombia and be able to go down to Colombia? And lo and behold, when you put it out to the universe, things start to happen. We got introduced to an individual who had a connection in Colombia, who before no time, we found ourselves on a Zoom with the director for the National Adoption Consulate of Colombia, sharing this idea that we have of, why don't you guys let us come to your country and be able to go into these institutes, into these orphanages and film these kids? And the initial response was, I would say, not even lukewarm. It wasn't no, it was more like, heck no, and let me tell you why. But they went and they shared with us, and we continued to listen, and we continued to ask questions, and lo and behold, hearts started to soften. And before we knew it, we got an invite to be able to come to Colombia.
Wow. So to make sure the listeners understand what ROTS does, right? You are raising money so that people can adopt these kids. You're also finding the kids. It used to be in the Ukraine and China, right? And then you're connecting them. You're raising the money to help them adopt, and then we're finding the kids and connecting them, right? And so now that's turned to Colombia during COVID, and you're starting to have success with that.
Yep.
So then what happens?
Yeah, that's a great insight there. I would say the core purpose and our mission at Rod's Heroes is to inspire families to answer the call to adopt a child with special needs, or what I would say, an underdog. And so that underdog could be Down syndrome. That underdog could be somebody with CP. That could be an older child. That could be a sibling group of two, three, or four siblings. All of these circumstances, these are the hard adoptions. And that's really what our purpose is, to inspire families to answer the call to adopt. And the way that we do that is, one, by creating amazing content and telling these children's stories. And then two, bridging that gap between the financial burden that exists for a family to answer the call and then them actually to pull it off. It costs close to $40,000 now to adopt internationally.
So where are you in this Colombia journey?
Yeah. So in July, I get my team. We get our the Avengers, as we call them. We get the Avengers together. We jump on an airplane. We head to Bogota, Colombia. So I've spent time in South America before in Peru. I served a mission down there. And so I speak Spanish, and I love that culture. Like, it's just my heart. But for the rest of our team, that was their first time going south of the border. And it was a little bit wild, as you can imagine. We got there and immediately got on an airplane and flew from Bogota to Pasto, Colombia. And if anybody's ever seen the movie Encanto, right? This is that Disney movie. We went to Encanto, okay? It's you know, created after the inspiration of Colombia, and we were literally there. It's just beautiful vistas of beautiful mountains, these little pueblos in the top of the hills with these amazing rain clouds coming in and out. It's just a special, special place. And before I knew it, I found myself in an institute. And for 10 years, I've been telling the story about what happens to kids when they get abandoned and when they go to an institute, but I'd never stepped foot in one. And before I knew it, I found myself there with individuals that are young kids. And I was also there with full-grown adults, knowing that they'd been there their entire life. And it became very, very real that this work that we've been advocating for 10 years, all of a sudden, this is very real, seeing these kids. As we were there, we would go to institutes, but we would also go to foster homes. And in Colombia, foster care is a pretty big deal. In fact, I was impressed. I was very impressed with these foster parents and the work that they're doing on behalf of these children. But that's what we did there, is we went to institutes, we went to foster homes, and we got to meet these children firsthand, and we had our entire film crew. We got to make great content about these kids to ultimately tell their story, inspire families to answer the call to adopt.
Well, we're going to make a call to action at the end of the podcast, but drop it right now. Where do we see these videos?
Yeah, it's a great question. Two places. In fact, the one that I would highly recommend is just following us on Instagram. So at Rod's Heroes, and you'll see all of this great content that we're distributing. The second is on our website. And through this work that we've been doing, we actually just contracted with Vimeo, and we have a database, or think of Netflix, that you go on and you have just every video on there. We have that for every one of our children now, that individuals can log in and be able to see all of the children, all the content that we've created.
So what are some of the statistics for these kids in Colombia that are living in foster care or living in these institutes? What are their odds of being adopted?
Well, slim to none. And let me tell you why. I would say slim to none before Rod's Heroes, right? Mm-hmm. We would go into a foster home, and we would have... So let me preface something. You ever seen Rocky IV? Okay, yeah. One of my favorites, right? So Rocky lands in Russia, and to meet him, the authorities are there in the black car, in the black trench coat, and everywhere Rocky goes, the authorities go. That's what we experienced our first trip. Mm. So Colombia was good with us coming, but with reservations. And we said, these are the kids that we'd love to meet. And we kind of gave them an idea. And they would say, all right, you can go to this institute, and the authorities are there with us. You can go to this institute, and you can see one child. And this is the child. And they'd bring him out, and we'd see 30 other kids there that were like, what about these kids? And they said, no, you can film this child. That's it. And they'd always give us like the hardest cases, you know, which is fine. Like, we're the underdogs. And so in this first trip, they were very selective. And so we'd go to a foster home, and the authorities would be there, and they would say, okay, there's one child in this foster home, and we'd go there. And in almost every case, there would be at least two, if not three children that were under the radar, that were not on the papers. Really? And so to answer your question of what's the likelihood of these children getting adopted, slim to none, because their own country isn't even aware of all of them that are out there right now. And so that is a big, big deal that we found when we were there. So not great odds.
Why are they under the radar? Like, what's the root cause of being an orphan in Colombia?
Yeah, and
why are there so many?
That's a good question. I would not say that this is villainizing Columbia by any means, because Columbia rocks, and it's not under the radar in the sense of they are intentionally trying to hide children. It's there are thousands of orphaned children in the system over a vast country that you can pretty much only get to certain cities via airplane. And so they're doing the very best that they can with the resources that they have. And there's only so many families, so many mothers that can do foster care, especially for these children that have these higher special needs. And so it's not uncommon for a child coming in from an indigenous tribe to show up, and they need to place that child somewhere quick, like tonight, in the middle of the night. And so they find the best option, and that child goes there. And the document, the paper trail just doesn't make it back to Bogota. That's the main thing that we're seeing. Wow. So we'd go to these foster homes, and in one circumstance, we went to see one girl. We found six children that were there. And these are shining lights. Like, these are really good kids, like amazing kids. And in fact, in one foster home that had that six, we've already got a family committed for three of those kids, which, you know, prior to us showing up there, there was only one kid on the radar. Now we've got families for three kids, that two of which weren't even on the radar.
So talk about the success more. Talk about what's happened since you went and filmed, and there's one major success right there. Talk a little bit about what you've seen since you've got back and you've posted these videos.
What I'm finding is, and so I have a little bit of a track record on this now, the last decade. What I'm finding is that there is a gathering that is transpiring right before our eyes. And adoption is a big part of this gathering. That people's hearts are being opened. People are feeling called to go and rescue these children. And in turn, these children are rescuing them. That's what's happening right now. And all we got to do is be able to tell these children's story. That was the vision. That was the mission of going to Columbia. And so when we go down there, and you find these children, and you create this content and put that out to the world, like I said, there's an immense, amazing gathering that's transpiring, that people that didn't even consider adoption before are feeling something in their hearts when they look in the eyes of these children and they're answering that call. It's quite inspiring, actually.
I know you guys, I was watching as you guys were down there. I follow all your social media and everything, and there was this family group of kids that you left, and you promised them that you would come back and see them again. And you've been able to make multiple trips down there, right?
Yeah.
And you went back. What was that like to walk back in and see them again?
Well, I think I know what family group is. There's a group of four. Corey knows this. You don't know this. So, we had to travel like clear out into the Chocolate, like so far away, like multiple hours. We had to stop and eat guinea pig. Like, that's a delicacy down there. You should try it. It's actually pretty good. So we stopped and had some guinea pig, and we made our way all the way up to the tops of these mountains, and we met this little sibling group of four kids. There's a 16-year-old boy, a 14-year-old girl, 11-year-old girl, or 11-year-old boy, 9-year-old girl. And they were a very tight-knit family, sibling group. And the reason why Columbia asked us to travel to literally the ends of the earth, we're almost in Ecuador at the time, is because this sibling group is on the verge of aging out. And so the oldest child, when they reach a certain age, they'll actually break the children up, and they won't be able to stay together any longer, and they're going to be spread out. And so they wanted us to go and advocate for these kids. And our group, our team, when we met with these children, we just fell in love with these kids. And of all the kids that we were advocating for, we all just felt this pull to advocate for the sibling group. That's what we deemed them, right? The sibling group. And we got home, and that was like the first post that we were making is about these kids. And immediately we had families inquiring about them. We had four or five families that we thought, for sure, this is the family. These are the ones that are going to adopt the sibling group. And every one of them ultimately backed out and didn't pursue that. And so Andrea and I, we just completed our second adoption in August. We adopted two beautiful little girls through foster care here in Utah. And we adopted Cooper in 2016, our little boy that has Down syndrome. And so we've been down that adoption route. And it was about 6 weeks ago, we were studying one morning, her and I in the office, and I just felt that prompting come to me that I've felt before. And it comes kind of like this, where you're in a quiet moment and you're pondering and you're seeking inspiration on, all right, Heavenly Father, what would you have me do today? And sometimes the answer comes that, you know what, text mom and tell her you love her. Or, hey, don't forget to winterize your sprinklers. That's going to be an important thing. And so you have these little thoughts that come to your mind. Well, that morning, the thought that I felt before came and it said, Brady, you should consider adopting again. And I thought, well, that's interesting because I've had a good, 30 days since our last one. And so that's, we're in a little bit of a reprieve here. And I thought about it, and I spent about 20 more minutes just pondering that, and it just came strong. And guys, this isn't like a lightning bolt, like, commandment. You have to do, like, it's not like that. It's just a special little feeling that is real, right? And it's actually easy to overlook as well. But I knew what I was feeling, and so I took that time, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to share this with Andrea. And in my mind, I'm like, we'll adopt a kid from Columbia. And there was like some really cool like little boys that we had met. And I'm like, I bet we adopt one of those little boys. And, the one I thought of was like Buzz Lightyear, this little guy that had a Buzz Lightyear. Maybe it's Azul, who like didn't have his front teeth. Like he and I bonded really well. And so I was kind of excited. And I shared with Andrea, this is something that I'm feeling. And I just want to put that out there. Not saying, hey, we have to do this, or hey, how do you feel about it? Like, I just wanted to put that out there and allow that to marinate and her to process that. Hey, I'm feeling like maybe we should adopt again. And she said, you are? And I said, I am. And she goes, that's so awesome, because so am I. I just haven't said anything. And she goes, who are you thinking? And I go, well, I was thinking of Azul or maybe Buzz Lightyear. And she just smiled and she goes, no. She goes, we're supposed to adopt that sibling group. I'm like, oh man, honey, I wasn't ready for that one. And she said, yeah, we are supposed to adopt that sibling group. And I thought about that for a minute, and I just said, like, give me a day on this one. And so I took some time the rest of the day, that night, the next morning, and sure enough, that's absolutely who we're supposed to adopt. And so we're in the process of doing that right now. We haven't actually made that public. So holy here's cow. The podcast. We can make it public this way. I mean,
I had no idea.
We can wait to family. Post this. No,
you can post it, send okay. it, full send. Okay. And the reason why is we've submitted our letter of intent to Columbia. We've done all the home study. We've got all the information. We've submitted that. We haven't heard back yet, but we're cautiously optimistic that they'll allow us to pursue this.
Wow. So give some context to this. How many, if you adopt those four children from Columbia, how many kids is that in your home?
Yeah, so that'll be 11. And we have a beautiful rock star of a girl, Brinley, who's a junior in high school, 17-year-old, and just the light and light life of our family. We have Nash, who is our 15-year-old, who has Down syndrome. We have Ridge, who is 13. We have Cooper, who is soon to be 11, who we adopted from China, who also has Down syndrome. We then have Mason, who is our 8-year-old, who was born into our family. Then we have two little girls that we adopted through foster care that we were fostering for 3 years. And that was the adoption we just finalized in August. So add four more on that, ages 16 to 9. And I don't actually know how the math's going to add up on that. I do know that since... You go into that, Andrea would call it the nesting phase, and mm-hmm. you start making plans for what this is going to look like on where are all these kids going to sleep. And the thought that I had come to my mind is, great, I finally get to buy my sprinter van, because I've been kind of wanting the sprinter van. And then I'm like, wait a minute. The sprinter van won't even hold all of this.
Like, you're going to need like a bus.
You're going to need a 15 passenger cargo van. We've got to get
the bus, the little mini yellow bus. We're going to do it. Word.
Wow, I don't even know what to say.
I call them saints now, what I call them. But talk to us about, what does it take?
Yeah.
Like if you're talking to future, like what if people are thinking about adopting, or people are thinking about being foster parents.
Yeah.
What does it take? And give us the pluses and minuses of that.
Yeah. So here's the guarantee, right? So here's the one guarantee that I would say from experience. I guarantee it's going to be hard, but I guarantee it's going to be the most beautiful hard you've ever experienced in your entire life. And without question, what Andrea and I have been able to do in answering this call has blessed these children. There's no question, but I'm telling you guys, and in a way that I can't describe with words, the people that are receiving the biggest blessing are Andrea and I, and our family, and our children, and our community, our ward, our state, everybody who is getting to interact with these children who are tucked away, locked away, this light, this gem that is tucked away, that is now released and given the opportunity to shine. Everybody who sees that and experiences that benefits from this. And so what does it take? First and foremost, it just takes a willingness to be able to let God prevail in your life. And so many times, especially in the last years, we've really dove into this. I've had conversation after conversation with families, with parents. It breaks my heart because they will say, we feel like we're supposed to do this, or we feel like we're supposed to adopt this child, and they'll name the child by name, and they'll show a picture of that child that we have met, who I've held in my own arms, and they'll say, we feel like we should adopt this child, but, and then they'll name X, Y, and Z on why it doesn't make sense, or why maybe they're reserved, or maybe why the timing isn't right now. And I would encourage them, and I'd encourage anybody that's listening to this, if you feel something in your heart, explore that, follow that, make adjustments that will allow God to prevail. And what you will witness and experience in your life, I can't begin to put into words.
Awesome. I knew that was what he was going to say.
No pressure, right?
You can tell.
Well, you just like kind of left me speechless. I remember watching that video, that very first one, because you shared that.
That was my first post when I was down there. I love those kids.
But I remember watching the very first video that you made.
Oh, Vaughn. Yeah, Vaughn.
I remember watching Vaughn's video.
Yes, absolutely.
With my wife and my kids. And I think we watched it 100 times. So call to action for people here that may be feeling something as they listen to this podcast. What are the first steps if they are feeling prompted to explore this possibility?
Okay. Glad you asked. So you've heard me say this on the other podcast, and I've got a dozen plus examples that I could share of this coming to pass, but I'm going to share one right now. And so here's the phrase. If you allow yourself to get caught up in a cause bigger than yourself, you'll witness miracles. So I want to share an experience that we had on our last trip to Colombia in October. So if you remember the Rocky IV example, that, you know, the authorities were there, and you know what? It worked out great. We came back. We became friends with them. We created this content. We distributed this content, and family after family started answering the call. And Colombia is like, okay, we're on to something. These guys are friends, not foes. And so they said, come back. And this time, come back, and every child in the institute that is eligible for adoption, we want you to make content of and save every one of these children. So that was a huge breakthrough.
That's amazing.
So wow. we get the team together. We got the dream team back on an airplane, heading back to Bogota, Colombia. Only the first time we visited 8 institutes and like 21 foster homes, because we could only visit like one kid in an institute. So we're just traveling circus. Well, on this trip, we only had time to visit 2 institutes because we'd be there for 2 days at each one, because we're going to film every single child. And so we talked about what institute we were supposed to go to, and we spoke with the Colombian authorities about that, and we had it dialed in. Remember, we're focused on special needs kids, so we're going to these institutes with special needs kids. We show up, we get up, we drive almost 2 hours outside of town into the chakra again, and we show up in front of an institute, and when we all show up, we all look at each other who were there on the last trip and said, what are we doing here? Why are we here? This is not the institute that we're supposed to be at that we thought we were going to go to. Wow. Let me preface. We did go to this institute before we got to film one child. In this institute, it's all children that are not special needs children. It's older children. It's typical kids ages 8 and older. And so our lane is special needs. We don't really advocate much for typical children. And so there's no special needs kids. And the older kids, like, those are hard. So typical older kids, not our lane. We get out of the bus, and our contact, Soraya, she is a saint. She truly is a saint. She's there, and I go talk to Soraya. I put my arm around her. I'm like, Soraya, why are we here? This is not what the plan was. And she's a very faithful faithful lady, and she looked at me, and she speaks really good English with just a little bit of accent. She looked at me, and she said, Brady, we are here because the Lord wants us to be here. And I'm like, okay, good enough for me. Let's see what we can do. And the rest of the team still like murmuring a bit, like, what are we got to call an audible. We got to get out of here. I'm like, guys, trust Soraya. I feel like we're supposed to be here. Well, the last time that we went there, the institute director was like hardcore, did not want us there, did not like us, did not want to talk to us, did not want us seeing any kids. There was one kid that she was going to authorize because the government made her. And outside of that, we were out. Well, we got to meet her again, and her mindset and her attitude towards us had completely changed. One, she speaks perfect English, which go figure, okay? And two, she just told us her story and told us about the institute and how her mom founded that. And we just felt a kindred connection there. Well, then we went to work and we started filming these kids. This was very, this was very special for me because all of the children that we have filmed before leading up to that could not talk back to us. They would talk to us with their eyes, which is very special. Right? Very, very special, but they could not communicate with us because of the severity of their special needs. With these children could talk, and they could share with us their story, and they could share with us their hopes and their dreams and their aspirations. And I will never forget, we had interviewed maybe 4 kids, and I always like to ask the question, what is your biggest dream? What are your goals? What are the things, what's the thing that you want to accomplish in life? And this is the one child that I was talking to as a 12-year-old boy. And the others had said the same thing, but he looked at me and he said, my biggest dream is I want to have a mom and a dad. My biggest dream is I want to have a family. And then you would ask him how long they'd been in there. And they'd been there since they were 4 or 5 years old. I remember children telling us that my mom left me here because she was sick, or my mom had to leave me because she had other stuff going on. I remember one child saying that I have a goal that when I am old enough, I'm going to start an organization to help people who are homeless because my mom's homeless. And so think about that. This 14-year-old girl who'd been in an institute her entire life had the intuition to understand that she wanted to get out of there, and her mission was to start an organization to help people like her mom. And so we had 38 of these interviews during this time. And these are very talented kids. Okay. So I'm not just saying that, but there was some young men and some young women in there where I'm like, these are leaders. These are people that get it, have had life experiences and have a mindset that is very positive, like very different than what I would have guessed. And we left after 2 days, loving these kids. It was an amazing experience. But we left with this weight on us that we just got charged with the responsibility to be able to take 30 plus kids and find them a family. They looked at us and know that we are their one hope. That was their one chance. That little 3-minute video, they, like, we had kids showing up in suit coats, right? They knew this is their chance to be able to get a family. And they're putting their entire heart and soul into this. And they're so gracious and thankful to us, saying, thank you for coming. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you for trying to help me. So we're driving away from this. And with our team, we're just emotional. Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to find these kids a family? And as I promised, when you allow yourself to get caught up in a cause bigger than yourself, mountains will move and you will see miracles. And in that moment, we found a miracle. Columbia shared with us that they have a hosting program to where they will pay for those children to come to Utah with a family and stay with a family for a typically 2 to 3 weeks. And the opportunity is for that child to come to Utah, to be with that family, to allow that family to meet the child, to be with the child, and for the child to be able to meet that family as well. Adoption is not as scary as it sounds. These kids may sound like they may come with some challenges, and they do, but ironically enough, it's not as scary as it sounds. And what we found statistically speaking is over 90% success of a child that comes to the United States and is in a hosting program will get adopted. And the answer came, and we knew it right then. That's our answer. We are going to host these children in Utah this next summer. And that was a large part, guys, on why I wanted to be on the show, is because we got some call to actions that are going to take place between now and then.
Great. Cool. So that's coming up this summer. How many kids do you think is it as many as you can possibly get?
I expect we'll have 20 to 30. The biggest challenge is not the kids.
It's the hosts.
It's the families.
Yeah.
Yep, it's the families.
So this is a call to action right now. If you're feeling it in your bones, in your heart, in your spirit, to open up your family to this idea of potentially adopting.
Yep, that's absolutely right. And so what this looks like is these children will come as a group. They'll have chaperones that are coming with them in preparation for this, families. And so as I've thought about this, and I've shared this with just a select few individuals, I find often people are very open. In fact, I've got like 6 or 7 families that immediately have said, yes, we're in, we'll host. And I said, okay, but I want to be super clear on this. This isn't like bring these kids here, host them for a couple weeks, show them a good time, and then, you know, wipe your hands and send them back. I really am looking for families who feel in their heart that they're supposed to adopt, and they're just not quite sure about that yet. That's who we're looking for, is people who will do this with the intention of saying, I'm taking a step closer to answering the call to adopt with this. That's what we're looking for. So what would be required of that is a home study to be done. And a home study takes some effort on your behalf. There's going to be a little bit of time, and there's also cost that's associated with this. Typical home study is going to be between $1,500, if we're lucky, to probably closer to $3,000. And so we're actively fundraising. We're trying to raise $100,000 to be able to pay for the home studies for all of these children, for all of these families. But more importantly, we're looking for families who are ready to answer the call on this one.
Yeah, it would have to be a bit of an anomaly if you didn't adopt, because you would break the kid's heart. You would think.
I thought about that, and I think about that often. And here's as I've studied and researched this, yes, that's a challenge, but there are circumstances when it's just not a good fit.
Sure.
Right? And what happens in those environments, though, and what we're going to position this as for this summer, is we will have multiple events where all the children and all of the families come together so that everybody can get to know everybody. In addition to that, that child's probably going to go on family vacation with them, or, you know, go to the cabin or go to the lake, and they're going to meet other families that are friends and so forth. And so oftentimes, not often, but occasionally, the family that's hosting isn't actually the family that's going to adopt, but it's a family with whom that child meets that sees, you know what, this isn't as scary as I thought. We can move forward now because we've actually met this child. We felt a connection with that child. So that's really the goal behind it.
So talk to us a little bit about the adoption costs and things like that that Rods has helped with in the past. There's 30 kids here. Mm-hmm. If it's $40,000 a piece.
Yeah, that's higher math for me. I had to get my calculator out.
Well, you are the financial guy. That's right. $1.2 million.
That's right.
Are the funds available to help with some of those costs? Or are you asking these families to be financially able to cover half or three quarters?
Good question. Really good question. So first and foremost, we believe that everybody is called to do something. Everybody has the opportunity to step up and be a hero in their own way. Initially, we're looking for families who are willing to answer the call and be a hero to adopt one of these little superheroes with that just need their cape. The second thing would be oftentimes individuals will say, I'm not in a position, literally not in a position to be able to adopt, but I have the ability to be able to bridge that gap for a family to adopt, meaning from a financial standpoint. The third thing is it's just telling these kids' story. It's sharing. It's talking about this. I've had so many people reach out to me that said, hey, you gave a talk or a podcast or something. I didn't actually hear it, but somebody told me about it, and I wanted to reach out to you. And so it's just sharing that aspect. So on the financial side, average adoption is going to be $40,000 to be able to adopt. In addition to that, it's going to require you to be in country, one spouse to be in country for about 30 days, for about a month. Both spouses often go, but at least one would need to be there for that 30 days. And so the way that we bridge that gap from a financial standpoint is we have what's called a Heroes Grant. We have amazing donors that donate to Rod's Heroes that enable us to be able to go to a family who has answered the call to adopt, allow them to apply, do an application for a Heroes Grant, and based on financial need, we will be able to fund a portion of that grant for them.
You're doing God's work, brother. Telling you right now, this is one of the coolest things I know about. It's awesome what you're doing. I commend you and applaud you and all those who have adopted and those who are giving their time and their money. Amazing.
Thank you for that. And as I said at the very beginning, there is very much a gathering that I am witnessing right before my eyes of fathers and parents' hearts are opening up for these children. These children are opening up their hearts towards these fathers. It's a real thing and it's happening right now. And it's amazing to get to be a part of this thing. Absolutely amazing.
At the end of every podcast, the question that we ask. We ask what it means to be a gentleman to you. I'm going to ask you a different one. Tell us a story about a kid you met that exemplified a quality of a gentleman.
There's a lot of stories, but there's one that just weighs on me right now. It just weighs on me. There's a young man. He's 13 years old now. We met him in July. We went to his institute, and his institute, it's all individuals with severe special needs, adults all the way down to young children. This young man, Angel, is his name. He's a typical kid. Like he's a good young man. And I remember the first time we interviewed, we actually did get to interview him the first time, and we met him. And he's a soft-spoken young man, and he's a good boy. And he was just kind and he was gracious and he was a good boy. Well, this next time when we came back, I wanted to see Angel, and we saw him, and I really observed him. And what I saw him doing is he, during lunchtime, all of these individuals are either going to be fed through a tube or they're going to be, you have to feed them. Like the workers have to feed them. I saw 13-year-old Angel going and getting the soup plate and going up to these individuals and spoon feeding all of these adults who have severe special needs and taking care of them. I saw him picking things up for them. I saw him pulling up their coats and their blankets. And he's just a caretaker. He's loving these individuals. He's caring for these individuals. And this is the part that broke my heart. I was visiting with the doctor that was there about Angel. And I said, tell me about this boy. And he said, he's a very sweet boy, but I want to tell you about a conversation I just had with him recently. He asked me, he said, why do all of my friends get adopted and I'm not getting adopted? Why does no family ever come for me and adopt me? Why do all my friends get adopted? And so if you think about that, he's 13. He's been there his entire life. He's seen friend after friend after friend have a family come and adopt them and take them and give them a mom and a dad. And now he's at a place now where he's starting to lose hope. And here's a boy that's dedicated, he's consecrated his entire life to helping these other teammates, team members that are there. But in his quiet moments in the back of his mind, he's asking himself, why is nobody adopting me? And that's a little boy that I want to bring to Utah. And that's a little boy that I can see an amazing family falling in love with and giving him that opportunity. So that that would be my call to action, is consider allowing Angel to come to your home and be a light in your life like he is for these other individuals.
Couldn't have answered that question better. A little 13-year-old gentleman that needs a family.
That's right.
Amazing.
Well, everybody, if you haven't felt something during this podcast, you've been sleeping or your volumes have been turned down too low, I'm going to go back to what you said. If you've felt a prompting to explore the possibility of adoption, reach out to Rod's Heroes.
Yep.
Brady, contact information.
Yep.
Number one.
Best way to get in touch with us would be through our website, rodsheroes.org, or even better, go to our Instagram channel, Rod's Heroes, so at Rod's Heroes on Instagram. Where most of our inquiries are coming in are through our direct messages on Instagram, as well as through our website. And then I mean this, this is my personal email. So brady@rods.org, R-O-D-S.org. I will meet with you. I will talk with you. You want to call me, you want to come and see me, you want me to come and see you, I will do that, because I've seen these children firsthand. And I am absolutely committed 100% until my dying day to allow these children to be able to shine the light that exists with them. And if I can be a resource, I'll spend as much time as you'd like to visit about whatever child, whatever you've got on your mind, like, let me be a resource to help you.
Awesome. Number two, if you felt a prompting to write a check.
Yeah.
To make some of this magic happen.
Yep. This is what I would recommend. Individuals continue to be put in our path that are divinely guided to be in our path. One of those individuals is a lady by the name of Holly Felstead. Holly was the senior development officer for Utah State University in the Huntsman School of Business. And Holly just joined our team as our development officer. She is the best I have ever seen in my entire life, and we feel so thankful to be able to have her in our life. What I would say is, if you feel prompted to be able to contribute from a financial standpoint, simply have a conversation with Holly so that she can explain the many, many different ways in which someone could be involved at a very small level all the way up to a very high level. She is an absolute professional and very, very good at being able to help individuals find that connection or the way in which they feel like they can best contribute.
Awesome. And number three, you probably have a social media account. You probably have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all places where Rod's Heroes exists online. Mm-hmm. If they don't see a jump in followers,
let's do it,
and shares and likes and comments in the week that this goes out onto our channel, I'll be disappointed.
Let's do it.
If you can't do anything more than follow them, like them, share the videos that they've spent so much time, effort, and love creating, we all ought to be able to do that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's amazing is we're finding that when individuals share our posts, that oftentimes it's a share of a share of a share, and then there's a family. And we find a family. And you'd be amazed at how many families are coming to us that it was, hey, I saw a post that somebody had shared, and that's how their connection was to us. So again, this gathering that is transpiring is because individuals are feeling called to either answer the call and adopt, or answer the call and share, answer the call and donate.
That's awesome. Well, we all have our marching orders, folks. Brady Murray was one of our very, very first guests on the podcast. He's always been gracious to us and has provided so much value, friendship, and love to us over the years. Let's help him out, guys. I can't think of a better cause than this.
No, it's amazing. And I have to say to you, Brady, I said this before we started the podcast, but you inspire me in a major way. So thank you for your inspiration. And I'm sure
hundreds and hundreds of, if not thousands of others that you're inspiring. So thanks for being who you are.
Thank you.
Thanks for giving of your heart and being open to things bigger than yourself and making miracles happen because you're doing it.
Thanks. And thanks for putting this platform on to allow us to share these stories. I love your guys' podcast. Love what you guys are doing.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you saying that. If you're ever going to share a podcast of ours, share this one. I'm Kirk Chug.
And I'm Corey Moore. Go out there and follow your promptings.
And witness miracles. We'll be right back.